it.
We now return to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Major League Butt Kicking is back in town! Oh, yeah!
Tonight I dine on turtle soup.
What are you, some sort of punker?
Bang your brand, Koido.
Pizza Dude's got 30 seconds.
Cowabunga!
You know, I'm not sure how many of you guys have tattoos, much more Ninja Turtles tattoos, perhaps. I don't find that statement too bizarre, seeing as you're listening to this show in particular. But if you can get a tattoo inked by a former or current Ninja Turtles artist, would you do it? Welcome, folks, to the first ever episode of the Monthly Mutagen, a podcast oozing all things Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I am your host, Chris, turtle fan, avid pizza eater, and comic editor for TeenageMutantNinjaTurtles.com, though the pizza eater thing is getting a little tougher in my old age. I usually have to have some antacids on hand, at least. So anyway, back to my question. Would you get that tattoo by a former TMNT artist? Because right now, folks, we have that chance, since one of the first Ninja Turtles illustrators, Eric Talbot, just finished a 2-year tattoo apprenticeship and has finally made the leap from scales to skin. Back in 1987, Talbot was hired by former classmate Kevin Eastman under Mirage Studios. Talbot worked on Ninja Turtles comics until the franchise was sold to Viacom in 2009, when he decided to focus on his own artwork. But never mind me. Here's the man in his own words.
It's a weird thing to be telling people. When I would tell people what I would do, I would say, you know, I draw the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and they would just be like, what? One of the great things I think about the Turtles, I think you touched on a little bit, was the fact that it wasn't like normal comic books, and I think people still say that to me when I'm at conventions. You could see the work. It maybe wasn't as polished as some of the, you know, mainstream comics, but it had that charm that it was like a do-it-yourself kind of DIY thing where we were just kind of learning as we were going.
I was kind of sitting in my basement with my dog, drawing turtles and not really seeing people. I really got complacent, I think, with my style and what I was drawing. I wasn't really trying as hard, but now I just find it so fascinating. I love to put the needle in the skin and see that crisp, clean line come out. You know, all the different types of needles. The canvas is moving. The canvas is pliable.
Tattooing's always kind of been there as something I've thought about doing. I've had offers from different people. I think my art relates. I mean, I draw a lot of skulls, I draw a lot of creatures, I draw a lot of stuff that kind of relates to tattoos.
So when you first start tattooing, it's just due to your pants, like, terrifying.
Ordeal, to be honest. It was very healthy for me to get outside my comfort zone and stay outside my comfort zone. And that's actually one of the things I love about tattooing, is that I've got a place to go every day and there's people around me.
You sit down and do a drawing for
people to see, you're nervous and you choke up and you
don't grow. And the only way to grow is make mistakes, in my opinion. And if you're not worried about making mistakes, you're going to make them, you know?
So as I started doing these interviews, at some point my wife mentioned this character that I had designed. And she consequently got me these for Christmas. And what they are is this character called Tattoo that I designed for the Ninja Turtles. And his name is actually Tattoo. And I kind of forgot about this guy. So it's funny that tattooing has kind of just been there all along. Heroes in a half shell.
Talbot works out of Oxbow Tattoo in East Hampton, Massachusetts. Speaking as someone with tattoos, I've been serious about getting a Ninja Turtles tattoo sooner rather than later, actually. And the idea of getting a piece of Ninja Turtles art forever ingrained on your body by the actual artist, I think that's something pretty special, personally speaking. Perhaps I could save up and finally get that Irma tattoo I've always wanted.
For me? Ah, you
gotta be kidding!
The action figure that Talbot was referencing at the end of that interview was a character by the name of Tattoo, who's a sumo wrestler that appears briefly in Planet of the Turtaloids Part 1 of the original 1987 series. Though his actual cartoon appearance was brief, I think a lot of longtime fans would instantly recognize that action figure. I know I've certainly seen plenty of Tattoo figures and all types of conditions scattered in cardboard boxes and plastic bins of various flea markets, swap meets, comic conventions. And speaking of the classic Ninja Turtles action figure line, that leads us into a bit of somber news in the toy world this month. So let's head into some Channel 6 news, shall we? It was reported earlier this month that Playmates founder Chan Tai Ho passed away in his home at the age of 87. Chan, born in 1932, established Playmates in Turnmun, China in 1966. The company set up a network of distributors in the United States in 1978 to sell a range of dolls and preschool toys, marketed under the Playmates brand name. In 1984, Playmates became the first toy company to list on the Hong Kong stock market, and the company's greatest successes came in the 1980s with its line of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles action figures, as well as producing figures from The Simpsons and Star Trek television shows.
Ellinger the Rat taught them each the ninja art. Donatello, master of the staff.
War!
Leonardo, the katana blade.
My gosh!
Raphael, the sword.
Don't throw this at all, kid!
And Michelangelo, the nunchakus.
Radical! And master of the willing pizza.
Hey, who had the pepperoni and ice cream?
Now, as Turtle fans, I know the Playmates toy line holds a special place in our hearts, right? I mean, when we boil things down, a lot of those old 80s cartoons were long commercials that were there to sell toys to us, and we ate it up as kids. I mean, to be able to take your favorite characters from those TV shows and play with them in your own adventures that you make up in your head, it was truly a magical time, and the Ninja Turtles action figures, the designs, the packaging, the accessories, is something that really stuck with us. Stuck with us so much, I feel like that's why they're so collectible these days, and why every time somebody sees a bin of Ninja Turtle figures, wherever you may be, they just get a big smile and grin on their face from ear to ear. From a personal experience, those were some of my favorite toys and action figures growing up. I have a lot of really fond memories playing with those figures. In fact, my first Ninja Turtles action figure was a hand-me-down from my cousin, and it was the original Raphael action figure from Playmates in 1988. And I took that figure with me for a while, and Raphael had a lot of daring fights. He took on guys like RoboCop and the Terminator, and he always came out on top. But Raphael, that action figure is one that I actually still own till this day. I do not have a lot of things from my childhood that I currently own, originals anyway. But Raphael is a figure that I still own. I probably have a couple sets of that original Ninja Turtles figures. But Raph, I always know that it was mine from childhood because, first of all, he has no accessories. But on the bottom of his foot, they have the little peg holes in there. There's a little piece of bubble gum in his foot that's hardened. It was something that I just kind of always wanted to remove. I mean, I think, you know, it happened one day where I just was having my Raph figure stomp through things and he stomped into a piece of bubble gum. But it was something that I wanted to remove, but I never did. And now as I'm older, I can't remove it. It's a telltale that it's my Raph figure. It's something where, you know, I always kind of look at it and I know it's mine and it's a cherished childhood memory. Something as silly as a piece of hard bubble gum stuck on your Ninja Turtle's foot. Silly, right? But I mean, it makes a lot of sense. And that childhood aspect. And that's something that is sort of a cherished memory of mine, but I'd love to hear your guys' Turtle Toys experience. Do you remember your first Ninja Turtles action figure, where you got it, or some of your most cherished ones or your favorite toys were? I'd love to read them on the show. I'd love to share them with our listeners. You can send an email to chris@teenagemutantninjaturtles.com. I'd really love to share your memories on next month's show. And I'd love to really hear other fans' experience with that classic Playmates toy line.
Yikes! This could be the end! Are you talking about Slash, the twisted mutant turtle from Dimension X, latest member of the Evil Foot Clan, or Triceraton, Shredder's mutant enforcer?
No.
Well, surely you don't mean Mondo Gecko, the skateboarding good guy lizard, or Fugitoid, your waxed-out robotic buddy with the short circuits? So, what's the problem?
They left the anchovies off my ice cream pizza!
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles
from Playmates!
Ah yes, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Playmates toys were definitely among my favorites to play with when I was a kid. I'd say the only other contender would probably be the old WWF Hasbro figures, and of course, the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. And while we've actually seen the Ninja Turtles cross over with WWE in the action figure form, the Power Rangers and Ninja Turtles have been teaming up the past couple months in the comic world. Ever wanted to see the Power Rangers swap costumes with the Ninja Turtles? Because that's what just happened. IDW and Boom Studios have given us a sneak peek at Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Issue 4.
You want Rangers? You gotta go through Turtles.
Mutants!
Well, at least you got that right. It's time for some shell shock!
What are those things?
I can't believe it, but I think they're...
It's the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles!
The beauty of comic books is that it's a medium that can deliver things that simply wouldn't be possible anywhere else. Maximizing on the prospect of this very crossover, the artwork shows us that each group is taking a page from the other. The Ninja Turtles are decked out like Power Rangers, while the Power Rangers are full-on ninjas. They don't have shells, though, I'll tell you right now. What's more, the Ninja Turtles' trusted friend and confidant, April O'Neil, is set to become the Pink Ranger in something of an interesting turn. Talk about merging my two childhood crushes. If you haven't been reading or just simply haven't caught up on this series, the synopsis for Issue 4 reads, "It's the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Mighty Morphin Power Rangers as you've never seen them before versus Green Ranger Shredder. Will both teams be enough to stop the head of the Foot Clan as he wields the awesome power of the Dragon Shield and the Morphin Grid for evil? And what's Rita Repulsa up to as the mighty battle rages on?" That is some thick 90s goodness right there. But what's perhaps most impressive about all this sneak peeks and art that we've been getting is how natural both designs look. The Ninja Turtles, they look quite at home as the Power Rangers, and on the flip side, the Power Rangers look like they were born to be ninjas. I assume we're disregarding the fact that there are Ninja Power Rangers and even Ninja Power Rangers in the original movie, but we're not going to talk about that. Given the cover art, we can only wonder how amazing this would be as an animated movie, perhaps even live action. That might seem like a pipe dream, but hey, stranger things have happened, right?
How did you get into this cave?
Oh, well, there weren't many security measures in the northern tunnel. We had to swim for a bit, but I'm realizing you don't actually want constructive criticism right now.
At present, the Power Rangers and the Ninja Turtles are heading toward big screen reboots. Paramount Studios hired Andrew Dodge last summer to write a new Ninja Turtles movie, which looks to move away from the Michael Bay versions of the franchise we got a couple years ago. Meanwhile, also at Paramount Studios, Jonathan Entwistle has been tapped to take a 90s set reboot of the Power Rangers, which follows the failed 2017 take on the series. Unfortunately, that version was a major box office failure, though I actually quite enjoy that movie, but what do I know? The crossover series is written by Ryan Parrott, who worked on the Power Rangers Necessary Evil comic book, illustrated by Simon DeMeo, as well as colored by Walter Biamonte. And I have to say, besides reading like a 90s wet dream, the artwork in this comic series so far has been poster-worthy. Really, the colors and the smooth action and art direction that this comic book series has been delivering on is something really beautiful and unique to look at. I especially love their look and their take on the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I'd love to see them work together on an actual Ninja Turtles story arc. But anyway, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Issue 4 is set to hit shelves March 18th. Be sure to check out the Turtle Rangers and Ninja Rangers art for yourself. This news comes from Boom Studios. I would advise you guys to Google it. It's really cool looking. And of course, if you don't want to spend your money just yet on an issue and you want to see what other Turtle fans think of it, you can of course read my reviews of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Ninja Turtles. I'll definitely be reviewing the new issue as it drops on March 18th. And you can read past reviews only on TeenageMutantNinjaTurtles.com. That wraps up Channel 6 News this month.
April O'Neil, Channel 3 Eyewitness News.
Speaking of the comic world, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles releasing this month. Of course, we have Ninja Turtles Power Rangers issue number 4 dropping March 18th. Now, that is issue 4 of a 5-issue limited series. The 5th issue drops April 15th. And I highly advise you guys, you 90s kids, you Turtle fans and Power Ranger fans, to really check that one out. That's probably my pick so far of all these issues. It's fantastic. TMNT number 104 drops on March 25th, as well as 105 dropping on April 29th. Janika number 2 drops on March 25th as well. And then her last issue, number 3, it's a small miniseries run, drops on April 8th. So make sure to head to your local comic shop to support the comic scene as well as our favorite turtle brethren.
Cowabunga!
Well, guys, what do you think of my latest invention? It's a super fast pizza maker. It cuts cooking time in half.
We all know Donatello does machines, but can those machines make you a pizza and deliver it to your doorstep? Or sewer grate, you know what I mean.
I gotta get a new route. I thought I'd deliver it everywhere.
We're gonna head into a little bit of tech news that would make Donatello proud. You may not see a human face other than your dining partner at the world's first fully automated hot pot restaurant staffed by robot chefs and waiters. That's been opened by Hadaleo, and I'm gonna butcher that name, of course. It's a famous Chinese chain serving out of Beijing, China. When you first walk in, the restaurant's waiting area looks like a movie theater. While you wait to get a seat, you can scan the QR code to play video games with your friends and even meet new friends while waiting in the queue area. As you enter the dining hall, beautiful landscapes fade onto the wall-sized screens, but watch out, you might get into the way of the 6 humanoid robots that move back and forth between the kitchen and the eating area. It takes less than 10 minutes for you to get your dishes from a robot waiter, but when these robots get too busy, that's of course when human staff steps in. But they're not the only robots here. Once you finish your order, robotic arms get to work preparing your food. This smart restaurant was initiated by Hadaleo and the Japanese electronic giant Panasonic. But it's gone through challenges dating back to 2016, where research was conducted using some smart restaurants in Europe and Japan. The hot pot chain is planning to open 2 more smart restaurants in Beijing and is also eyeing an expansion overseas. The term smart restaurant itself is nothing new. At a restaurant launched by e-commerce giant Alibaba in Shanghai, no traditional waiters are serving anymore, just robots. Luckily for the robots, they're still in the early stages of their development, so the future seems bright, and it's perhaps the rest of us who should be worrying about our job security. Perhaps we're getting closer to a real-life metalhead, after all.
I'm sorry about that, guys. I guess it still has a few loose screws.
Yeah, just like the guy who invented it.
All right, dudes and dudettes, it's time for this month's trivia question. We here at the Monthly Mutagen definitely want to spread the love with some contests and giveaways as we move forward, but we all have to start somewhere. So, here's this month's Turtle Trivia. Washington, D.C.'s Smithsonian Museum displays the costume of which brother from the original 1990 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles film? If you think you know the answer to this month's trivia question, send it to chris@teenagemutantninjaturtles.com. I'll give you a shout-out on the next episode as well as send a TMNT prize your way. You have my word. Once again, in Washington, D.C.'s Smithsonian Museum, they display the costume of which brother from the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles film? Now, I've never personally got to see this display. I've never been to the Smithsonian Museum. It's still on my to-do list once I get some some money, of course. But I have to say that I did a lot of research on this, and looking at the costume, they claim it's from the original Ninja Turtles 1990 film, but being a real Ninja Turtles nerd, as I'm sure most of you are, I don't necessarily think it's from the original 1990 film. It looks more like a Ninja Turtles 3 costume to me. You can normally tell by those reptilian liver spots that the turtles have all over their body in that movie, and just the giant Colgate teeth. Feel free to write in and let me know. That is this month's Turtle Trivia. As we begin to wind this episode down here, I feel I need to do a little bit of explaining, this being the first episode of the Monthly Mutagen and all. I know that there's an endless amount of options when it comes to podcasts, and there's even a decent amount of podcasts covering the Ninja Turtles. So I really want to thank you for lending me your ears for our first show. The reason we're starting this, of course, is our sole love of everything Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And my goal with the monthly Mutagen is to broadcast something different, an alternative show, compared to other entertainment podcasts, even other Ninja Turtle podcasts. I always believed what keeps the Ninja Turtles so relevant throughout the decades are its fans. And being part of the Ninja Turtle fan base for so long, I have confidence when I say it's truly one of the most loyal and positive fan bases that I've been around. When I go to comic book conventions and report on things there, or just be a fan and go there as a fan, I always love to stop someone or briefly talk to someone selling Ninja Turtles toys or comics or trading cards or people decked out in Ninja Turtle gear, and I just like to talk to them for 2 to 5 minutes. Just get to know them, get to know their love for the Turtles, and everyone that I've talked to has been so friendly and so happy, and you just see the joy in their face when you bring up the name Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Cynically, you could look at it and you could say that these characters, you know, were produced to sell toys and everything like that, ignoring their comic book roots, of course, but it's clearly something that means a lot to a lot of people, and they certainly mean a lot to me, and I know they mean a lot to you too. And I would love for this show to just simply be a reflection of that. I want to share your thoughts, your stories, your experiences on the monthly Mutagen. And I want to get a dialogue going. I really want this to be a fan-driven podcast. I asked earlier in the show about cherished memories with your favorite Ninja Turtles toys and shared one of my own memories concerning my bubblegum-footed Raphael. But I would love to hear why you're into Ninja Turtles. What has kept you loving them? And why you're listening to this very show. What is the theme? What grabs you about the Ninja Turtles? What keeps them so great in your eyes? I've dropped my email numerous times throughout this podcast. I'm sure you're tired of hearing it. I'm going to drop it one more time. You guys can write me. My name, Chris, C-H-R-I-S, at TeenageMutantNinjaTurtles.com. You can also tweet us at TMNT_fansite. Or you can visit TeenageMutantNinjaTurtles.com and you can comment on the podcast posting that we have there. I would really love to get to know my listeners as you guys get to know us. So again, thank you for listening, thank you for your time, and I look forward to hearing from you guys. That wraps up this edition of the Monthly Mutagen, a podcast oozing all things Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. You can find us everywhere podcasts are found, as well as our favorite hangout, the sewers of TeenageMutantNinjaTurtles.com. I am your host, Chris, and, you know, I always have a hard time with goodbyes. Let's see, how should I do this? We were radical? Nah, we were awesome. No, I got it. We were eclectic.
I have always liked Cowabunga.
Huh? Cowabunga!
I made a funny.
On the half shell, they're the heroes for. In this day and age, who could ask for more? The crime wave is high, with muggings mysterious. All police and detectives are furious, cause they can't find the source of this lethally evil force. This is serious, so give me a quarter. I was a witness, get me a reporter. Call April O'Neil in on this case. Hey, you better hurry up, there's no time to waste. We need help like quick on the double. Have pity on the city, man, it's in trouble. We need heroes like the Lone Ranger. When Tonto came pronto, when there was danger. They didn't say we'd be there in half an hour, cause they displayed turtle power.